You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe. It simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. we don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. It's going to be a good day. It is Wednesday, hump day, got to get over the hump. So I hope you get a chance to do all the things you should do, must do, can do, will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it ain't, I don't give a damn how cold it is. You're going to get it done because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And we appreciate you for it. It is cold, y'all. Almost 2/3 of this country is in a deep freeze, is below freezing. And here in Atlanta, starting to warm up. I think it's got about 30 degrees. Let me see what the temperature is right now here in the AT of L. Yeah, here you go. It's 37 degrees. And you know in Atlanta, any place else south, that's cold. But it is what it is, so we just got to deal with it, you know. Just got to deal with it. Once again, this is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com, to our homepage. Look for podcast. Click on that, and once you click on that, you'll see at the top of the list of podcasts on Time for an Awakening is African Perspectives. Click on that, and that'll open up and show you all of the programs that we have posted there that are dated and titled. The recent ones I know people are asking to be posted, and I understand, and we'll try to do that, especially the one I did with Jeremiah Kamara, and he wants to get a copy of that, and other ones too. And I appreciate, you know what, let me say this. I appreciate all those who listen, appreciate all those who call in and contribute, even though some of the people have been calling in now for quite a while, and I hope they continue to do so. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Following this program is the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. On Mondays and Wednesdays. So right today, stay tuned for Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix. On Mondays, all times are going to give our Eastern times. Monday evening from 6 to 8 is Acres of Diamonds with Brother Jihad. And then immediately following Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And after that is Conversation Reparations, Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesday, this evening, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, tomorrow evening, it'll be Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, brothers and sisters, you know it is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, Fridays at 8 p.m. Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. No, it's not me. It is Sister POC and her program, Revive. Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then every Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Valentine Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832.
3-2. Time for an awakening. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Check them out. It is, you can get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Also, too, dear brothers and sisters, if you are in the Atlanta area, you can stop at the Greenbrier Mall right off of Georgia Highway 166. And they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall. And you can pick up that laundry detergent, deodorant, syrup, salves, batteries, toothpaste, toothbrushes. All these things are produced by us. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Mamani Tahimbe, who will be my guest on Friday in the 12 o'clock hour, from 12 to 1, will be Brother Mamani Tahimbe, Africa for the Africans. He is taking some people, he's taking our people to South Africa next week, Friday, November 22nd to December 2nd. He's going to Johannesburg and Cape Town, South Africa. And then when he comes back, he's preparing another trip in December, next month, December 24th to January 4th, 2020, going to Ghana. Listen, brothers and sisters, if you want to see photos of previous trips, the last trip he did was in May, facebook.com/Bomani. You want to see videos, youtube.com/Bomani 2007, Africa for the Africans.com. And the number to call is 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. And as I'm trying to get into the habit of, once I talk about Bomani and what he's doing, I talk about Renoco and what he's doing. And Renoco, Dr. Renoco, go to his website, Dr. Renoco, DRRUNOKO.com. Dr. Renoco Rashidi, he is going to three countries, Senegal, Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau, January 21st to the February 4th in 2020. And the surprise and a special treat, a special itinerary update, they will be visiting, you will be able to visit the radiocarbonation laboratory established by the great scholar and historian, Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop. This radiocarbonating laboratory proved that the ancient Kemetic people, what the Greeks called Egypt, what they call Egypt today, that these were African people, dark skin. African people. So you got three trips. Excuse me. You got three countries: Senegal, Gambia, the Gambi Belongo, the city of Jafare, Kunta Kinte, and of course Guinea-Bissau. So we have three beautiful trips, beautiful countries on that trip with Renoco. And the cost for that trip is $3,856. That's for sharing a room. But if you want a room to your own, just add an additional $680 to that, and you can have a room of your own. Brother Renoco Rashidi, my good friend and brother. Where's his number at for this trip? I don't see his phone number here. Let me try to get that, find that for you right quick. Where's your phone number at, Renoco? I tell you what, I'll look in my... I got your number, man. I got your number right here, dear brother. Renoco Rashidi's number, brothers and sisters, is 323-803-8663. He always announces it, so, you know, he'll say, hey, give me a call. And, of course, leave a message. And, of course, he's on Hotmail. And it's Renoco at Hotmail. Dr. Renoco at Gmail. Renoco at Hotmail.com. Once again, 323-803-8663. Renoco Rashidi. Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Shrine of the Black Madonna, located here in the West End, and there's shrines in Houston and Detroit, and I think another place there's a shrine. The Shrine of the Black Madonna here in Atlanta, located in the West End, 946 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard in the West End. Number to call is 404-549-8676. 404-549-8676. They have everything. They got furniture. They got clothing. They got artwork. They have figurines. They have the Kwanzaa kit. Kwanzaa is coming up, dear brothers and sisters. You know you're going to need some Kwanzaa candles. They got them right now, and probably by the time you think about getting them in next month, they'll probably be gone. So check it out. Go to the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Open Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 7, and on Sunday from 1 to 3, because they're closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. They also have the red, black, and green shoes and the gas shoes. Okay, they got it all. They also have an African Holocaust Museum, and they have the Know Thyself class, the African history class of Know Thyself, free and open to the public. And Brother Olatunji is starting a new class. So if you go this Saturday and subsequent Saturdays, you're starting at the beginning. You're starting at the beginning. It'll talk to this Saturday about how the universe expanded in the big whatever. They'll talk about the beginning of African civilization. So from 1:30 to 3:30 at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. But if you can't make that and you want that information, you can also go to their multimedia library, which is now 7 terabytes of African enlightenment. So check out the Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Medu Bookstore. The Medu Bookstore is right near the kiosk of We Buy Black. The Medu Bookstore. The kiosk of We Buy Black, and right across there is, bam, is Medu Bookstore. And that's right there in the Greenbrier Mall. They have what you need. They have books, cards, T-shirts, all kinds of good stuff, figurines. And the number to call is 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. And that's at the Greenbrier Mall. They're open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 9, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. Another bookstore that I promote is Brother Kazinde Ajamu in Lithonia, the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, Brother Jamu's bookstore, and the number to call, if see if he has the book that you want, is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. He also has the red, black, and green shoes, other apparel, all kinds of good stuff. Because you know why? There is light in the Black Dot. Black Dot Bookstore and Cultural Center. I love it. Cafe, excuse me, no. Us Lifting Us, ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, or as we like to say, cooperative economics. No, we like to say family-centered economics. The radio broadcast is tomorrow night, the Thursday night broadcast at 9 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Eastern from 9 to 10, the ULU Thursday night broadcast. And the number to call to listen or to participate is 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789. 2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Brothers and sisters, please listen, but more importantly, join. You can go online, usliftingus.com, and become a member. Usliftingus.com. Akabin Institute. Akabin Institute. Brother Baba Baruti and his lovely wife, Yah Baruti, educating our people, educating our young warriors. They need financial help like everything else. You know it. And so please do so. Make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786. P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But if you want to use PayPal or Cash App, $YAAM, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and you can send your cash donations through PayPal or Cash App. Also, too, this Saturday, Kibuka, I will have on the, in the second hour of the program, Sister Yah will be talking about Kibuka, which is this Saturday, which is the remembering the middle passage through the eyes of our ancestors. Remember the middle passage through the eyes of our ancestors, the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement. That is this Saturday, November 16th, from 5 to 9 at the Sweet Spot, 675 Metropolitan Parkway in Atlanta. There is a donation. I'm not sure. What's, okay. $10. $5 for children. $15 a couple. $20 a family. You know, it's always affordable. See, stop it. Just say Saturday afternoon. Also, too, African Warriors Women's Day. African Warrior Women's Day, and it's a lecture by Yah with a question and answer. That's going to be Tuesday, December 10th. So that's coming up, Tuesday, December 10th. and it's going to be at the Akabin Institute. Number to call is 404-753-7237. Sometimes they do simulcast. I'm not sure that's going to be happening, but sometimes they do that. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti. Sister Gabby. Sister Gabriel Aurelia in the northeast corner of Haiti in the rural area. And you know the rural area does not get, especially in a country that is impoverished, because they trying to build up the city, you know? So what this sister has done is she's used her talents and got people to invest and donate into helping young brothers and sisters period in that part of Haiti. So Sanjay, Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sonjay-Haiti.org. Check them out. Go on and check them out. You see the beautiful children in their school uniforms, the chicken stuff they do, the fruits and vegetables making, the healthcare. So three things: education, food production, and health and healthcare. Things they're focusing on to make sure that the people get what they want. Black Talk Radio Network Project 2019 Media Fund. The Black Talk Radio Network. We're on Black Talk Radio Network. So this is what you do. Go on blacktalkradionetwork.com, blacktalkradionetwork.com. And when you go on the front page, scroll down, it's right there on the right. There might be one of those links that you can hit and you can get it. But if you don't have to do that if you want to, you just scroll down to the right. You'll see it. So donate, hit the button, and make your contributions to the Black Talk Radio Network 2019 Media Fund. My good brother, Scotty Reed. We thank Scotty Reed. We're on this program right here because of my good friend Elliot Booker and Scotty Reed, and we thank them, we really do, on a black broadcast. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought, November 12th. It is no more harm for you to kill a man who is trying to kill you than it is for you to take a drink of water when thirsty. In fact, the man who will stand still and let another man murder him is worse than an infidel. And if he has common sense, ought not to be pitied. David Walker. If you control the minds of men, you control the hands of men. That is the logic of those who invest in instilling a slave or survival mentality in those they have physically and mentally abused. They know that broken individuals assume mental and physical postures, readily obeying the wishes of any master. Such individuals systematically seek to anticipate their master's every fear and pleasure. The survival mentality is strong in them. Too many of us have internalized our other directed definitions of freedom. They seek to route of at least resistance. They seek the route of least resistance. Settling for toys and sample motion gratifying exercises that do no more than occupy their time. This is not living. It is just surviving. It is existing hand to mouth from day to day. Such a mentality is not conducive to empowerment because it is based on the acceptance that the pain or death that oppressors can exert is normal and permanent and stronger than anything else that we can amass. Specifically, within our community, Negroes and Negroettes, lost souls, zealots of Eurocentric religion, and other Western political institutions and homosexualized individuals epitomize this mentality in the modern European cultural context. If in possession of common sense, such individuals should not be pitied. Affirm, I control my mind. Affirmed, I control my mind. November 13th. Systems do not exist apart from individuals. They are indeed the creation and expressions of men and women. Vincent Harding. All peoples create their institutions in their image. As such, capitalism has one form that the economic institution can take is a European creation. It is the only economic order that the European mind could ever have produced and sustained because it is naturally fits their cultural personality, which is selfish, greedy. And it is the only major economic system named after things. African economic dependency is not the work of some sterile interpersonal economic engine, as Europeans would have us believe, except to the extent that a culture's economic institution is the manufacturer of the evolved subconscious imperatives of that collective people, who naturally designed the economic order to fit their minds. It is the creation of a people who work to create it as an extension and enabler of their will. We must see this clearly. Culture and society produce an economy. It is not the other way around. Economy, like spirit, like family, is the creation of cultural personality. Affirm. I reject European economic order. Man, I say. Affirm. I reject economic, European economic order. I know I do, but I'm telling you, boy, this is, we're coming into that season right now where this is the holiday, the high holy days. This is coming upon the biggest shopping and spending and gift giving and gift getting and all that stuff of the European people coming up. Yeah, it's about to happen. It is about to happen, I tell you. Nkrumah. And let me say once again, I keep putting forth this reading of what Nkrumah said and later what he said and Mama Marimba Ani. I keep putting forth. Oh, by the way, Bacchus and Tsum Tsum is going to happen, brothers and sisters. Let me read that to you a little bit later if I do this. I'm supposed to have a guest, but apparently maybe he's got hung up and he's not going to be with us all. You know, when these kind of things happen, you have to, you know, if you don't know what work I did or occupation I had, I was a firefighter. And as a firefighter, you always have to improvise, overcome, and adapt. That's what we have to do. Now, not everything is always set that way it says in a textbook, this step, this step. Sometimes you may have to do that step and leap two other steps to do the real step. Who knows? Improvise, overcome, and adapt. Nkrumah, the speech of freedom in 1961. I believe strongly and sincerely that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture united under one federal government will emerge not as just another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but as a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, or suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on the hope, trust, friendship, and direction to the good of all mankind. Kwame Nkrumah, 1961. Some years later, if we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common fund and a common purpose, we will be haggling and wrangling among ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we suffer heretofore. And I'm going to tell you, you know why I read this. Because that is what's happening. These are the warnings that Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, also Dr. Sheikh Anjou Diop. Diop believed in get his book, The Federated States of Africa. Idi Amin Dada, Patrice Lumumba, Thomas Sankara. Yes, they were from different countries, but they understood that it wasn't the country they were in, it was the continent that they could to manage. The resources of that continent, the people of that continent. And what's happening You have Caucasians like Bill Gates and the dude from England talking about there are too many people in Africa. We must do some depopulation on the continent of Africa. We need Africa's resources. You got China, India, Koreans, Europeans, everybody there but us. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effect the European has had on our ability to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from their thoughts so as to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europeans. This is a demand by an African-centered view because we are African. And because the future toward which Europe leads us is genocide. Remember Ani, my good sister. I said I was going to talk about Remember Ani. We do have Abakus and Sumsum, and we also have Misgivings coming up. Misgivings. Yes. And Abakus and Sumsum, brothers and sisters, it'll be coming up here next year, Saturday, May 2020, 12:30 to 6:30, same place at the Sweetwater State Park, in Lithia Springs, Georgia. Sweetwater State Park, Lithia Springs, Georgia. Race first, culture first, African ancestral war plan is the theme, the African ancestral war plan. If you ever been to Abakus and Sumsum here in the Atlanta area, put together, this is the 17th annual by my dear sister Mamrimba Ani. It is spiritual. It is moving. It is enlightening. It is captivating. It's beautiful. The children, the people, it's beautiful. Abakus and Sumsum, African Spiritual Warfare, the 17th annual Abakus Hymn. My guest, I'm not sure where he is, so I'm going to do this. I am going to talk about, because I'm going to do it again, of course. This is because this is Misgivings, or what formerly known as Thanksgiving. Misgiving, an African-centered, indigenous-centered view. My good sister, friend, Marimba Ani. A group of European scavengers, many of whom had been imprisoned or homeless in England, arrived in New England in 1620. They first lived on Turtle Island. Half of them died within the first few months. Squanto, of the Pequot people who had been in captive by the Europeans and taken to England, spoke English and formed a close relationship, she put those in quotes, with these pitiful migrants. He taught them how to grow corn and to fish, how to prepare certain foods and other survival skills. The Caucasian people saw Quanto as an instrument of their God to help his chosen people. In other words, they used him. To them, he and his people were heathens and savages. The worldview of the indigenous people, much like the African worldview, taught them to give freely to those who had nothing. That is our worldview. That's why when people came to the shores, like they came here. One of my favorite movies is come on, see what happens. It's Mel Gibson movie. It'll come to me, but because when I just read that part, that reminded me of that scene where they're chasing the brother, and he gets close to the shore. He had already saved his wife, his pregnant wife, and newborn child, and his son, you know. And And so then he's being chased and he stops. He's frozen. And the two persons who are chasing him, they also stop. They're catatonic. They're frozen. They're looking at something they'd never seen before. These ship and then boats of Caucasians coming at them. You know, these were the Mayans. You know. And somehow the title of the film is escaping my mind. I'm telling you, brothers, it's tough getting old. But it'll come to me. I know, probably come to me. I know before I get off this program, and I'll say it, you know, because one of my favorite movies. Anyway, if only they knew what was about to happen to them. If only we knew when Europeans came ashore. If only the indigenous people of any lands where Europeans came. Not to be the innately generous and beautiful people that they are and were at that time, but to be selfish and have some forethought, some insight into who is coming. If only they knew. Because they thought those people, when they were coming, those people, we're going to call our savages. They're heathens. Justifying, based upon our religion, justifying us capturing them and taking their land and taking their resources and claiming it for our own. The worldview of those who had nothing. Squanto is said to have negotiated a false treaty between the Meshikot, a false treaty between the nearby Wampanoag and the so-called pilgrims. The leaders of the Anishinaabe nation, Maseto, donated food stores to the struggling colony of Europeans. And in 1621, having survived a hard winter due to the help of the Wampanoag, the Europeans celebrated, as was their custom, to having Thanksgiving to their god. No Wampanoag or members of any other indigenous nation were invited, and yet they came and supplied most of the food in return for helping them to survive. These so-called pilgrims decimated by the Wampanoag through disease. They decimated the Wampanoag through disease, treachery, and slaughter. In the years which followed, by 1637, as the Europeans were feeling successful, more powerful, and in control of their newly conquered territory, an expedition was sent to Connecticut near Gorton. Over 700 indigenous people, Pequots, were celebrating their yearly festival, their harvest, the annual Green Corn Festival, when they were taken by surprise by the Caucasian invaders. Their men were shot and clubbed to death, while their children and women were burned alive. Winthrop, the first governor of Massachusetts Bay Colony, Winthrop, proclaimed a day of thanksgiving, saying that they should thank God for destroying the savages to make way for a better growth. Quoted in the work of Cotton Mather's. Which follow constitutes some of the most vicious recordings and continuing massacres. Some of those vicious recordings, continued massacres of the indigenous people of this land, now known as America. It became the custom of Caucasians to follow each massacre with a thanksgiving. Rewards would be given to those who returned with the skulls of scalping was not a indigenous people thing. No, it was not. It was a European thing. And then, of course, later on, as that practice continued to do that, then some indigenous people who worked with the Europeans said, well, go out there and get these scalps, and these scalps, I'll give you so much money or whatever, so much reward. Rewards would be given to those who returned with the skulls of indigenous people to encourage their slaughter. In 1863, it was decided to celebrate only one day of Thanksgiving proclaimed by Abraham Lincoln. At a later period, the fourth Thursday of November was chosen by the capitalists to maximize the shopping days until Christmas. That was FDR. That was his initiative, Franklin Delano. And then, of course, Black Friday, which, of course, you couldn't say nothing about no black. You couldn't say that. That's recent. In fact, we used to do Black Friday when I was living in Milwaukee. Black Friday was Friday the 13th. Any Friday the 13th, because of Europeans who said that was a bad day, it was evil. Oh, yeah? No, we're going to party on that day. We're going to celebrate on that day. We would have a ladder up and walk under the ladder, break a damn mirror, you know. I don't know about a black cat, but anyway, you know. And we potluck and entertain. Those who could sing would sing, and spoken word and so forth. It was a party, Black Friday. No, they just started saying Black Friday last probably about the 90s, 80s, late 80s, 90s, because they understand in the parlance of capitalism, you don't want to be in the red. You want to be in the black. You want to be in the black. So Black Friday was about money, was about trying to maximize your businesses, selling whatever it is to maximize, and saying to some businesses, this may be the chance for you to make money in that year. Because you might have been struggling within the year, turning up red here and there. But once this holiday season rolled around, you can really push and maximize profit by through the end of the year. You'll be in the black. In 1970, at the 350th anniversary of the landing of pilgrims, a leader of indigenous people prepared a speech in which he told the true story of Plymouth and berated the Caucasian people for robbing the graves of the Wampanoag. The officials of Massachusetts did not allow them to make the speech. Every year since then, indigenous people of this land have looked upon the fourth Thursday of November as a day of mourning. Russell Means, Susan Bates, Jacqueline Keeler, and more for information about how they mourned. There are placards too, around the, especially out east. We African people in America are victims of the same process that resulted in the murder of millions of indigenous people and the decimation of their nations. America was built by stolen labor on stolen land. America was built by stolen labor on stolen land. No, this country has never been great and never will be great. Never. When you build something on stolen labor and you build something on stolen land and you never pay for it. You never make amends. There is no restitution. There's no reciprocity. There's no reparations. Never. So remember, Ani said, this legacy of Europeans in this country is this: taking without thanks, taking without giving is exploitation, misgiving. Change is not easy. We're used to celebrating with our families on this day. It is always so good to come together and to share a meal with each other. But we do have alternatives, and we always need to be in the process of growth. Growth makes change necessary. We can change a little at a time, remembering that our goal is African sovereignty. I repeat, we can change a little at a time, remembering that our goal, the ultimate goal, the end game for African people is sovereignty. It's not integration. You never have integration because you can't integrate with Caucasians. Integration means I have what I have. You have what you have. We bring it together and it is shared. It's understood. We celebrate what you have. You celebrate what I have. No, that is not the European way. They are selfish and greedy. They don't want to share shit. Excuse me. No, the European thing is you accept what I'm going to give you. You assimilate. That's what it is. So our end game, brothers and sisters, is not to share in this madness, in this stolen land. Our end game is for African sovereignty. And the only place African sovereignty can take place is on the African continent. You cannot be sovereign here. I know Republic of New Africa asked for those states in the Southeast, North and South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi. Why not Louisiana? Why not Kentucky or Tennessee or Florida? But those states, okay, fine, because there's a lot of us in all of those states, I understand. But the bottom line is that you can't be sovereign. You are still in the midst of an open and sworn enemy who has at their disposal all kinds of mechanisms to disrupt and destroy and eliminate you. Number one, when you are with your family on Thursday, November 28th, 2019, take a moment to remember and talk about the true meaning of this so-called holiday. I remember when I love my daughter. I love both my daughters and my two grandsons. My daughter here and her friends, they always invite me for the meals. And because I'm usually the oldest person, they ask me to say a prayer. Now, understand this. I am not a Christian. I am not a Muslim. I believe in God because the planet is where it is. And how that happens, to be exactly where it is in relationship to the sun. Not too close, where it burn up. Not too far, where it's too damn cold. But right where it needs to be to produce life. So I believe in that spirit, that African spirit. So I said a prayer, and I made mention, because at that time, the indigenous people were suffering in the Dakotas because Europeans were going to put in the Dakota Access Pipeline and another pipeline. So two pipes that have broken since. And the deal was, when they first talked about putting the pipeline in, they went to Bismarck and them Caucasians said, hell no, you're not going to put a pipeline in here. Oh, okay. You're right. We're not going to do that. We're just going to run that through indigenous people's land and through their water and so forth. And we ain't going to ask them a damn thing. We're just going to do it. And so once the indigenous people understood what was about to happen, they protested. They physically protested. And they were met with police dogs and rubber bullets and water cannon in November, December, January, throwing water on you. Then everybody else started getting involved. And that's when Barack said something about it. That's when he said something about it. And then, of course, Trump was elected. And when Trump was elected, he's an investor. So the Caucasian, who was very arrogant when I saw him on the news piece, he said, just wait till Trump get in. We're going to do this stuff. We're going to do it anyway. They have no respect. No regard. So they did it. And yes, the pipeline bust, and it leaked, both of them. Number two, we don't have to contribute to a nonprofit making mania organized by the large conglomerate encouraging us to spend money that we don't have during the weekend following that day. Don't shop. We don't have to. Make Black Friday real black by our absence. Go to the shrine. Go to other places that have, hopefully there'll be some pop-ups. Maybe Wadada's might have another pop-up. Maybe they have pre-Kwanzaa sales and so forth. Shop amongst our own. Spend some money on that day with some brothers and sisters. We buy black. Go online. Number three, make the sacrifice of fasting on that day. Yes, it would be a challenge, but you can still enjoy your family and at the same time identify with those who were exploited, murdered, and raped of their resources, as we have been. This is not a cause for celebration. Oh, hell no. Number four, let us choose a day on which the Pan-African world nation gives thanks together for the gift of African ancestry and the sacrifices that have been made for us by our ancestors. We can start small with Africans that we know and continue to grow and grow as we invite more and more of like-minded brothers and sisters, conscious brothers and sisters, African-centered brothers and sisters, those who understand that, no, it ain't about being here. It is about being us as African people. It is a process. Let us begin now in African victory and sovereignty. Mama Marimba Ani, my good friend and sister. We're going to take a break. When we come back from that break, we'll have more discussion. And then my second guest, I guess, will be here. Too bad I missed my good brother. I'll give him a call and find out when he can come back on again. And we'll definitely do that. So, but in the meantime, we'll take a break and you stay with us. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Of a human are so hard to bear when the uncivilized enterprise in despair. Video clips make us shake our derrieres while the big spring springs. Throw your guns in the air. Hollywood, Hollywood, we all want the glamour, glitz, diamonds, and gold. Tricks, abracadabra. What's the matter, copper ladder? That really makes me wonder how we manage to move around in the world of anacondas. Gotta think like a chess player, Mr. Taxpayer. Seek the truth, we abuse you, suffer soothsayer. School fools on YouTube and chat room players. Cartoons and buffoons of all the sort of flavors. You used to diss my mama when you called the ancient mama. Must have seized, got a need, so you call me mountain climber. Quest feed the need of the Da Vinci co-finder. Proceed to lead as the original designer. Ayo, 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 ayo. Ebenezer, he's a squeezer. Don't bow down to clown, stuff your knees up. I don't hoe around to no cheese. Peace to all my peeps who could keep up. Cause I'm leaping over them boundaries. Indigestion in the belly of the beast. New direction, heading straight for the east. You know, life is painstaking when they have what's ancient. So who's that wrecking that microphone? Shot blessed, giving headrest to backbones. F-popper, if he was a rolling stone. Cause sisters know how to be up. Damn right we up. So what's your sexuality? Intellectual abnormality is your religion causing them casualties. So bow down to the floor, to your gods of woe. Major slave ships played your woman like a hoa. Wrote it in your books and we bought it in the stores. Hickory dickory slippery dots. Go to bed with the feds and they have crooked cops. Put the lead to the head if the agenda stops. So keep a bulletproof goose in a crew of hard rocks. Ayo, 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 yo, ayo. He's wheezing, she's coughing. We all stuck in the land of the lost, man. They trying to stay.
stickers into them coffins. So proceed to lead with caution. Misdemeanors getting meaner and his grass ain't greener. First or second class plane crash got Jesus. Y'all need gas from who these to beamers. Watch them as they laugh and take us to the cleaners. Read between the lines if you want some definition. They fired the grid so we led through intuition. Better watch your kids when on the net they fishing. How you rocking rims and you ain't got a pot to piss in? Lord have mercy on these folks. They got a mind so blind and we all got jokes. We just want piece of bacon from that stroke. Divorce rate sky high cause we ain't evenly yoked. Signs number 9, numerology completion. Beeping through your mind like blinds at off Venetian. Seek hard, you find what I find I'm keeping. Don't be alarmed, just keep your arms reaching. Ayo, 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 ayo.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Brothers and sisters, of the programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, this program, African Perspectives, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., followed by, on Monday and Wednesdays, the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. And then Monday evenings, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, followed by Let's Buy a Black 365. And after that, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey at 9 p.m. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then tonight, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, from 8 to 10. And then on Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. And then Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, you know it is time for an awakening. Join Brother Elliot and Brother Richard for Time for an Awakening on Fridays. On Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it is Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, with her program, Revive. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 7 p.m. on Sunday. Every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., the Warren Ballantyne Show, right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I really enjoyed, I tell you, in fact, I talked to her, because remember I made an announcement this past Monday about somebody threw a rumor out there that she had a heart attack or a stroke or something. She wasn't doing too good. And I just seen her at the book signing for our good sister, Dr. Baina Bello from Haiti, with her new book, She Rose of the Haitian Revolution. Beautiful, sister, beautiful illustrations, artwork, and her narratives that put down is outstanding. And so she was there, and afterwards we all went out to dinner, me, her, sister, Dewa, and Baba Kwesi. No, Baba Kwaku. That's it, not Kwesi, Baba Kwaku. The four of us went to the Ethiopian restaurant and ate with our hands. And so she was going to Tallahassee for that program that she was invited to speak at. And then so I got a phone call from Conrad, Dr. Conrad Worrell, who is the godfather of Molly Davis at the Black Men Lab. That's why I definitely will always support him. And Conrad called and said, "Have you heard?" Because I ain't heard nothing, you know, and talked with him. And then ironically got a call from her. And then we talked further on Sunday. And I said I would definitely do that. And, of course, I mentioned, too, about the misgivings, and then she put out a new one. I love it. So you will see that again. I'll probably read it a couple more times, and definitely will be reading it on the Wednesday before that day, and maybe even the day after, because also that's Black Friday. I'll do a Black Friday program and give you an idea where it came from and so forth. Seeing this one, this piece comes out of somebody sent this over Messenger on Francis. There's a new book coming out, and then you know. She talks about, the sister talks about reading the ISIS papers. She's got these funny glasses on and all this other stuff, but I don't give a damn about how she looks. I'm listening to and loving what she is saying. I think that's more important. I know it's more important, you know. So a new book is out. Brother Ray Winbush out of Morgan State in Baltimore. And Ray, I saw him at the Locks conference. It's good to see Brother Ray Winbush. His outstanding work on issue of reparations. He was in Chicago with a number of other people, Roger Wareham and so forth, talking about reparations. And they chilled the Ados people out, those African descendants of slaves. They chilled them out. I was very happy to hear that. How divisive is that, man? I'm telling you, man. Woo. When you ain't in your right mind and you're bombarded 24/7, 365 with images and notions of your own inferiority, then you think you are trained to think in a certain way. You are deceptively made to believe, I have my own mind. I think independently. No, you don't. You are directed. You are led. You are manipulated. So they got the new book out, Tribute to Francis, Dr. Francis Cress Welsing. And, of course, the ISIS Papers was a very big book when it came out in the 80s, dealing with symbolism and so forth, and just a dynamic book. In fact, a little bit of it is mentioned in the movie Boomerang, you know. It's mentioned in the movie Boomerang, where Eddie Murphy and David Alan Greer and Martin Lawrence, they're all at the pool, they're shooting pool. And Martin Lawrence, I think, is the one talks about, see, even the pool game is racist. You know, you got the green, that's the land, and you got all these balls of color, and the only one that has privilege is the white ball. And the whole objective is to knock all these balls off the table until you get to the last ball. And that ball is what color? That's right, black. Because the black ball has the ability to eliminate the white ball through genetic annihilation. So the white ball must. And even if you throw the white ball in another pocket, you can bring it back out to make sure that it knocks the black ball in to kill the black ball. You know, so, yeah. You know. So here's a piece that I just seen. Let me try to bring this up. Where the sister's talking about the ISIS papers.
Hey everybody, it's reading time right now in my house, and I have been reading, you know, the ISIS papers, which I'm almost done with, but this book is so phenomenal. I just want to read a little bit for you guys. This is for my friends that like a little bit of knowledge. Here we go. In the white supremacy mindset, consciously or subconsciously, black males must be destroyed in significant numbers, just as they were in earlier days when there was widespread open lynchings and castration of black males. Or during the Tuskegee syphilis study from 1932 to 1972, when a large number of black males were used and destroyed by whites. Ooh. Today, we are witnessing a more subtle systemic approach to white genetic survival. The destruction of black males now is indirect, so that the black male victims themselves can be led to participate in and be blamed for their own mass deaths. That sounds about right. However, through close examination and an understanding of the ultimate objective of white supremacy as collective white genetic survival, the steps to massive black male death can be charted. This woman was on point. The chain of events begins with the denial of full-scale employment and advancement to black males so that they cannot adequately support themselves, their wives, and their children. See, we're talking systematically. We're not talking about, you know, one person here and there. She's talking systematically, everybody. Whew. In turn, large numbers of black male children grow up without their father's guidance. This leads to frustration, depression, and failure in school. Once this atmosphere is established, drugs are placed deliberately in the black community.
Times like these, people want to get high. Real high and real fast. And this is going to do it. And make us rich.
Wow.
Message!
The drugs are then used to street treat black male frustration and depression. The high prices for which drugs are sold provide the black male population with the illusion that finally they are beginning to make some money and to share in the American dream.
This is the fruit of our hard work, the belief in the entrepreneurial spirit,
you know it.
The new American dream.
Yeah, that's deep. Guns are then placed at the disposal of the same black male persons, supposedly to aid them in enforcing payment for drug sales.
It was a demand for them because, you know, you had these drug dealers with all this money and these nice cars, and they had bodyguards for protection. And
more important, the strategy is for black males to kill and destroy one another and then carry the blame.
Get your ass up out the car, nigga. Get the fuck out. Break yourself, nigga. Break yourself.
Well, black men keep going back to jail. Why they can't stay out of jail? 87% recidivism rate. I understand that. Now let's talk about the box, the context in which the African-American male exists.
It must be realized that no black males manufacture the chemicals for drug use.
What role did the U.S. government play in bringing crack cocaine into L.A.'s poor black neighborhoods?
The government needed this money to fight this war over in Nicaragua against the Sandinistas. A particular sector of America and a race of people in America.
Nor do any black males manufacture guns.
That they used to find barrels of guns along the train tracks.
Yeah.
Just sitting there, Uzis, and like fully automatic guns, bro. Like just sitting there for people to find. Little kids in the ghetto throwing rocks on the train tracks. What they do, stumble across a whole barrel of guns.
So you think the government
Absolutely.
Left them there?
So let's take a look at the biggest suppliers of arms. The leaders are the United States, Russia, Germany, China, and France. Together, those five countries are responsible for 74% of global arms exports.
Wow. That's deep.
Message!
This is a good book, you guys. I suggest you get it.
I agree. I guess I suggest that you get it. Not just the book, but the message. The message is vitally important. Oh, the movie, Apocalypto. I said it would come to me, Apocalypto. Yeah, because in that piece, it looks like the apocalypse is about to happen. And so Apocalypto. Yeah. Mel Gibson produced the movie, I believe, and I know he directed it, and it's in subtitles. There's two movies in subtitles, Apocalypto and Pan's Labyrinth, I suggest. So if you want to go on YouTube to see if they're there or go check them out on Netflix, do that. Check them out on Netflix. Put in Apocalypto and Pan's Labyrinth, you know. But what Sister Frances was saying, and I know there are many people who did not like her implicating the European in all forms of people activity in terms of their racism, their willingness to do whatever it takes for them to be dominant and controlling, you know, in all areas of people activity, everything they do. It's in everything they do. So I know many people didn't want to deal with that.
and of course Caucasian. In fact, I'm going to next week, if I get a chance to, I came across a piece that happened a few years ago with a sister who did not like what was happening with her and her surroundings, decided to move to Costa Rica. She took a vacation because she lost her job, went down to Costa Rica, and now she's a, although I wish this all retreat, all African retreat, excluding Caucasians, and there was a lot of backlash. That's how the thing started with Vice. Vice, I don't get Vice anymore because that's on HBO. Vice News. I like Vice News. You know, like just like I liked Al Jazeera, which you don't get either. You know, there is going to be, I think it's starting this month, I believe it's 24/7 American African news station. I'm not sure if I can get down on streaming, but whatever it is, because I enjoyed the news, even Fathead Roland Martin, you know. I enjoyed the news, what was it, Ed Gordon on BET. That was one reason why the BET got bought up by Viacom. One of the first things they did is got rid of the news segment. That's why movies are made. You can't maximize the profit of a movie showing the European for who and what he truly is. You got to ease up on that. In fact, you got to find a way that he can become a hero. That the Caucasian mentality is not as bad. And in fact, they can find ways to help you. You know? Yeah. No, they are that bad. And I know in a little while, I hope that Sister Yah comes on so we can talk about how bad they are and what they've done to us and why you should be at the sweet spot this Saturday learning about Kibuka and learning how to look at our suffering through the eyes of our ancestors. Because I know there are some of us who are just like what the Caucasians wants us to do, just forget about it. Now, the European Jew never forget. In fact, the European Jew situation is so deep. They even said if you said something against Israel, you could be fined. In this country, if you said something about Israel, talking about boycotting them, talk about disinvesting in them, talk about anything negative about what they do and how they do it. If you said anything, you could be fined and imprisoned. The European Jew. But we want you to, hey, that happened a long time ago. Forget about it. It's a new day, and you have rights now. You have just as much right as I do as a white. In fact, I venture to say you have more privileges. It's more easier for you as a. Donald Trump said that ignorant shit. Donald Trump said that. No, we don't. No, we don't. But because they say it, and because we believe what they say, we've internalized it and agreed that, yeah, maybe we do. Maybe things are better. Maybe things are equal. Oh, hell no. They were never, they are not now, and they ain't going to be. But we keep holding out hope. Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. That time on In Living Color, they wheeled out Bob Hope, a replica of Bob Hope, Jesse Jackson. Keep hope alive. I tell you, yeah. Well, you know, I understand a lot of times the laughter, you know, and making light of it. In fact, I've seen a cartoon with Family Guy talking about, I didn't get a chance to really look at it enough about when the movie 12 Years, A Slave came out. As you know, the European always makes fun, makes light. There's comedy. And that's why I love Dr. Carter G. Woodson. I've seen.
And, this call is being and recorded.
You can tell me yourself if you have seen a picture of Carter G. Woodson that he is not, that he's smiling. If you've seen one, you let me know. Because every picture that I've seen of Carter G. Woodson as a young man has an older man. And I always said to myself, why, brother? Maybe he had a wax smile, you know? But not realized. Carter G. Woodson understood something very clearly. What Europeans have done to us ain't nothing to smile about. Ain't nothing to laugh about. This is a devastation, a disconnecting of African people. And putting into them, just like he said, just like Carter G. Woodson said, if you control a man's thinking, you don't have to worry about his actions. If you keep sending them to the back door, and when there is no back door, he will want one because he has been trained to go to the back door. He will cut one out for his own benefit. The minds of our people. We have a caller. Good afternoon, caller.
Good morning, good afternoon to you, Baba Ochi. I hope you don't mind me calling you Baba Ochi.
No, please do. Many people do. That's I'm at that particular stage, so many people do. How you doing, Brother Paul?
Absolutely fantastic, and even better to hear your rendition and your interjection, and even better to be able to speak across the ocean, many thousand miles across the sea, from London City, right there in Atlanta. Even better to use this technology to express myself.
That's right.
So it's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
And I just give thanks for life. Give thanks for life. That's
yes, it. I agree. I agree. I was talking to Brother Franklin Jones. You know, he follows me after my program. We were talking this morning prior to me coming on air about, you know, this vehicle that we have in terms of internet radio, and that we need more people like you, need more people to come on, and we need, because, you know, we've been propagandized so deep, and the only thing that can change that is reversed propaganda. But I look at it this way, an infusion of true knowledge of self on a constant basis, on a 24/7 basis, because just like they bombarded us 24/7, 365, we need to bombard ourselves. We need to purge ourselves of that ignorance, purge ourselves of that stupidity, purge ourselves of self-hatred and doubt and fear. Fear, because that's the main thing that keeps us in this particular state, fear. And as Brother Kwaku said, fear is false evidence appearing real. Yeah. So
I absolutely ditto that.
Yes.
Baba
yes.
Ochi.
Yes.
Absolutely ditto. Brother Ochi, you know, that's really real, you know, and I absolutely agree with you. My experience of trying to encourage others, you know, I'm very adept with this technology. I've been in it from the beginning.
Oh,
when I was in America,
great.
I learned about it. I've been in it since it's young child. I was always fascinated by electronics, and my hobby was to pull things apart, radios and stuff, and put them back together.
Ah,
so
okay.
When the opportunity presented itself in school to mess about with computers, I took it up, and since then I've never let it go. I studied television and electronic servicing before I left school. I was actually in school, and I went to the adults' college to learn that. I was the youngest person in the school. I was 15, and everybody else was like 25, 30, you know. I just had a love for that. And, although I went into law after that, I did go into an office for a while, but I soon got a bit disenfranchised with that.
Do you work on computers? Do any repairs on television, radios, and computers and stuff like that? Do you do that today?
Listen, you know, I do so much of that. I have to be honest with you. I had a business, and it was very successful, you know. But
good question. The testimony overall.
I'm I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah. When I came out of the law, I got made redundant, and I was just so fed up at it being in the office and being around them type of people.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to open up a business doing what I really loved, and so I opened up a computer business. I was doing that, yeah, repairs and all kind of stuff. It took me to all kind of areas, which in actual fact, to be honest with you, Brother Ochi, the business itself moved faster than I could even handle. It moved so fast. Things started to happen so fast that it was a roller coaster. That's all I can explain it. So, we've done all sorts of stuff. I had about maybe nearly 25 contracts.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I ended up getting ill, to be honest with you. I was working so mad. I'll be honest with you, I was working crazy, like a crazy fool, 7 days a week. And I got ill in the end. And so I had to take some time out. But it's my love. I don't look like a geek. I come from a counselor. But, you know,
you don't have those black horn rim glasses, man.
No, nothing like that. But it's my first love. I don't make that admission lightly. That, you know, that's what I like to do. I love it. You know what I mean? And it's got me in trouble as well, even at home, because I'm always going to these you call them flea markets, but I go to, we call them car boot sales. And I'm always picking up different computer parts all the while, even when I don't need them. I have to put something together or whatever, yeah. So yeah. That's me.
Brother Kwaku does. He works on computers. In fact, the computer that we're talking on right now is one that I got from him. It is a personal PC because I was on the laptop, but my program was inconsistent with the laptop along with wireless. And so now I have a PC, and I'm directly connected to the internet. You know, that's why I've been fortunate to not have a lot of mess ups, and even the mess ups that have happened haven't been because of me or my equipment. It's been either because of the servers down or something like that, you know. But so I'm happy about that, and I thank him for that. Yeah.
No. I mean, it's for me, obviously, it's a useful skill because I don't have to ask anybody for anything. I know what's going on at any one time, you know. So the only problem you have is just the time to get. You find you can become a victim of your own success, where you just don't find the physical time to do the things you should be doing, you know.
Right.
Because also, especially when you've got a family and you've got to keep a roof over your head and all the rest of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it. Yeah, I mean, because one of the things, Brother Paul, from In dealing with this struggle, I know a lot of our people are just trying to do their mundane lives, trying to go to work, come back home, feed their families and so forth. And they just settle into that because see here in America and in this Western world period, even in UK, because in a capitalistic countries, which are UK, America, and all these Europeans are, it is about you as the individual. It doesn't promote being collective. It doesn't promote the sharing and so forth. It's just you get yours. And if you didn't get yours, really, it's your fault because it was there to get. Not understanding that in this kind of system, it's by very design that a lot of people can't get theirs for all the small group of people who have every damn thing. That 1% or that 10% of millionaires and billionaires who have everything. I don't know if you're keeping track with this upcoming election. So now the Democrats, there are other people are getting who are billionaires. You know, they feel that because of their money and their deep pockets and resources, that they could be a better candidate than the other political candidates. In fact, I saw something that was really interesting to me, and I wish I was a legislator. Even though I might have been a legislator and who had 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 terms, but this guy was pushing forth term limits for federal elected officials, congresspersons, senators, so forth. Just like they had a 2-term limit on president, they should have a term limit on senators. Mitch McConnell, there's this cat named Mitch McConnell. Okay, I just got a text. Okay, Sister Yah. Baba Baruti's wife, she's going to come on, and she needs to be out by 5:10, so it's cool,
okay.
So I need to get her on, but But
no problem. I'll keep away.
But let me say this, Brother Paul. Mitch McConnell, who has been a U.S. senator from the state of Kentucky, one of the poorest states in this country, and Mitch McConnell's salary or money given to him as a U.S. senator is only $250,000, $250,000, but yet Mitch McConnell has amassed in all those many terms that he had over $26 million. How can a man get that? Because of all those special interests of the National Rifle Association, of the big pharmaceutical companies and so forth. So, you know, that's how that happens. But listen, Brother Paul, I got my guest, Sister Yabaruni, on with me. So if you want to please listen, hang on, please do. She'll be off by 10-2, and we can further this conversation. Okay, brother?
Absolutely. I'll give way, Brother Archie.
Okay, thank you. Sister Yah, are you there?
Yes, I am. Greetings, Baba Oshi. How are you today?
I am doing well, my dear. I am doing well. I caught a little bit of you this morning on RBG.
Oh, good thing.
Yes, yes. Great. So we have the event coming up this weekend. We have another event coming up on the December 10th of next month. I'm always promoting Akabin Institute, the work that you and Baba Baruti are doing to raise warriors, to put the consciousness of these young men and women into their minds, so no matter what school they may go to after that or what they ever may do, they know their foundation. They know they are Africans, and they know that they fight for sovereignty for African people. That's the bottom.
Ashe, we can think. That's our daily goal, Baba.
That's
you
right.
Summed it up in a nutshell.
That's right. So this is the fourth annual Kibuka. Tell us about Kibuka.
Oh, excuse me, Baba. It's the 14th.
Oh, sister. You know, I even have my glasses on, okay? Show is right there. It says 14th annual. I saw four. No, I missed the team. It's the 14th.
It's not a problem, Baba.
Well, thank you for excusing me. You know, but everything is starting. As you get older, things start to diminish, okay?
Oh, I'm very clear of that, Baba. I am very clear.
Okay, this is the 14th annual Kibuka. Explain to our listeners what Kibuka is and how it is memorized and how it is memorialized.
Okay. Baba, Kibuka is a Kikongo word that means remember, and it's a term Brother Baruti chose for a book on in remembrance to our ancestors about our experiences, specifically during the so-called Middle Passage, that particular part of our story. So it after publishing the book 14, 15 years ago, when he did a lecture on the book, that was the first Kibuka lecture, but it's a lecture based on the book Kibuka, which is subtitled Remembering the Middle Passage Through the Eyes of Our Ancestors.
Sure.
So it is an opportunity for us to pause, to remember this part of our story. You know, we live in a society where African people are told to forget the past. We're mm-hmm. supposed to forget the horrors. And for some of us, even without being told, it is so painful and so horrific that we don't want to remember. However, by forgetting, we're listening and reading the news today, we're seeing different versions of the same story being repeated. You know, we can't close our eyes and it disappears.
Mm-hmm.
The trauma of our story has been passed on, whether we talk about it or not. It's even recently been seen in the DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're dealing with the effects of that part of the Ma'afa, the great destruction. And in order to heal anything, you have to get to the root of the problem.
Right.
And what we generally do in this society, we self-medicate, whether it's alcohol, drugs, sex, whatever, you know, forms, mm-hmm. the media, video games, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
that allows us to be distracted from our pain. So if all were well, we wouldn't need these distractions, but we look for distractions, but in doing so, we are not looking at the root of our pain, the trauma, and that, you know, continues, and how we are now and have been for some time. The traumas that were inflicted on us, we are inflicting them on each other. And we cannot heal until we get to the root. And we need to know our story, and that's the good. You know, we like to celebrate, and we should. You know, we're the originators of civilization, mm-hmm. and we built the pyramids and all of that, and all of the sciences to the world. It is 100% true. But the other side of that is the pain that was inflicted on us by the hands of others, and mm-hmm. we need to be very clear. Because we see, you know, people who don't know their history, right. are destined to repeat it. And we're, that's seeing, right. you know, the repetition of the same story. So we need clarity. Mm-hmm. But also, instead of being ashamed of our ancestors, we need to be thankful to them and be proud of their willingness to fight and mm-hmm. to survive, you know, the great Ma'afa. Had not some of them survived, you know, we would not, those of us who are directly descended from the millions who were kidnapped,
mm-hmm.
Dragged on the coffin lines, maimed, beaten, raped, coffin lines in the dungeons, on the ship, all of those horrors.
Explain that. Explain the coffin lines to our listeners, because some may have heard that term for the first time. Explain exactly what that is.
The coffin lines were, we were chained together, or however we were connected, so that we couldn't move freely. And chains were definitely a part of it as well, but so that we would be lined up, and we had to walk miles to get from where the point of being captured in our villages, wherever we were found, to get to those dungeons, their so-called castles. But we were in the dungeons of those horrific places, where we were held until we were put on those ships that brought us to this part of the world. And so those lines, if you can imagine being chained at the neck, arms, feet, enough, of course, so that the chains were long enough so that you could walk, but the metal constantly tearing at your skin. And if a body part became infected, they would just cut it off. Or, you know, they would not stop the coffin line. So if someone was sick and died, you know, they just cut you at a place to leave you off on the side of the road to keep, you know, on their schedule to make this money and, you know, mm-hmm. taking us to this land of destruction, en route to right. the land of destruction.
And see, I wanted our listeners to understand what that meant and how that happened, because some people believe that Europeans established these dungeons, and I never have called them a castle, because mm-hmm. to me, the right terminology is always important, particularly for us, because, you know, even today you go to Ghana and Nigeria, and Senegal, and they'll say, even the tour people will say castle, you know. I hate it, because if I say the word castle, and you close your eyes and I say the word castle, what do you conjure up? You don't.
Yes, that's, this grand building with great beauty.
Right, exactly. And that's yes. not it. They were dungeons. And a lot of times our people are afraid because the European has taught us to say and do and whatever. See?
Right.
You know, and also, too, we got to remember that, you know, even though Sister Yah is talking about the coffin lines where we're chained up together, understand this, a lot of our brothers and sisters and children died, were killed before those were established, because we fought. Because there's this constant belief that, oh, they came in, we were all docile, we were, you know, then they just chained
absolutely
us.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Yeah, we, and that's the, when we see those of us who are still fighting today, mm-hmm. we're the descendants. We have fought throughout this process. We didn't just lie down and die. And in fact, the reason, if we were, if that were not the case, they would not have needed the weapons and of the horrific tactics used against us, because they knew and they experienced. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't hear about all of the rebellions on the ships because, of course, they're not mm-hmm. going to advertise
right.
us fighting unless it's the civil rights, you know, when we're fighting in a way that's approved of by them, when mm-hmm. we fight nonviolently. But we, Baba, I see it today. So it's clear to me, as African people generally, we have the warrior spirit. I see it in our children.
Yes.
We have a warrior spirit. Our problem is we don't discipline that warrior spirit so that we can use it constructively for our own good, the good of our families, and the good of African people
right.
world over. It ends up being used against ourselves, you mm-hmm. know, but we see the warrior energy is there.
Right. And I thank you for helping.
And give thanks. It has yes. not been, you know, destroyed.
Right. But I give thanks for you to understanding, you and Baba, for understanding it and nurturing it and help it grow and to spread that warrior spirit. Because, no, you're right. Because, see, that's like if you ever heard me do a libation, I would never say we were slaves, because a slave is something Absolutely. Or somebody that submits himself to a master. We've never Absolutely. Submitted. We have always resisted. We resisted on a continent, in the Middle Passage, on those ships, and we resisted in this hemisphere. Over 400 recorded revolts of our people fighting and resisting. No, we're not slaves. We're captives.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yep.
Enslaved. That's we right. were enslaved.
Right.
And, you know, they were not our masters.
No, they were captors.
yes, but I like a friend of mine said a number of years ago, monsters, not masters.
Yes, that's
so,
true.
Yes, the European monsters who yeah. enslaved us.
Yeah.
But yes, we were not slaves. And language is very important. You know, the African concept of namo, the power of the spoken word. Namo. So we have to choose carefully and, mm-hmm. you know, even naming ourselves. So if we say we're African American, no, that's a problem.
Yeah.
We are Africans who are, many of us, born in America. Mm-hmm. We may currently live in America, but mm-hmm. we were Africans when we left the motherland, and we'll
that's
always
right.
be Africans.
Well, you know, I use this way. I say we're Africans. We're African.
Absolutely.
Africa, African is the noun. There's a word that goes yes. in front of the noun describing what kind of African we are. Here in America, we're American African. If I was Caribbean or in Jamaica, I'd be Jamaican African. If I was a Nigerian,
yes.
I'd be Nigerian African, French African, British African. African is the noun, yes. and Africa ties us all together. See? So,
Absolutely.
So the bottom line is, no, I'm not American. I'm African.
Absolutely.
I'm not British. I'm African. I'm not French.
Absolutely.
I'm African. So, you know. But also, too, we have another program. Well, let's finish up with Kibuka, because it's going to be this Saturday, the 16th.
Yes.
And what is the time?
The time is 5 to 9 p.m.
Okay. And it's going to be where?
At the Sweet Spot, which is located in the Metropolitan Loft. And
mm-hmm.
that address is 675 Metropolitan Parkway. And the unit is actually Suite 6018.
Okay, because that when you pull into what she's talking about, it is going to be on the right-hand side. You may have to go around, but whatever you have to yeah. do, you got to be at the sweet spot. You got to be at the
right,
sweet spot
so
between
5
and 9.
The number.
Yep.
That suite number, please write that down if you don't have the
yep.
flyer. It's 6018, because there are lots and lots
exactly.
of lots. So you
exactly.
need the number.
Exactly.
But as you correct, Baba, when you drive in, if you look to the right, you'll see it.
That's right.
If you look to the right, but you mm-hmm. will have to drive around to get to it.
Right, to get to the parking areas, the parking spots that they have
yes.
there. And the donation, I know that, see, a donation is $20 a family, $15 a couple, $10 for adults, and $5 for children. And it's nominal.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, Baba, and I want to say this is the first time, so this is the 14th. commemoration. But we have never charged we have not requested donations at the door.
Right.
In some years, sometimes the venue was we were allowed to use it without incurring expenses. But in most of the years, we've had to do that.
Right.
You know, we have to pay those expenses. And we just, you know, we need assistance in doing it. It's important work, and we're doing it on behalf of the whole community.
Right.
So we're just asking the community to assist us in the expenses that are incurred. You know, we have to have a venue. We need audio, video, but whatever we need, we have to pay for. And, you know, we're a very small program. We never have a budget. So, you know, that we would not have to do it, but we're just asking the village to assist us, you know, with the expenses.
And it's nominal, brothers and sisters. Believe me, how they present it and the children and how they reenact everything is a memorial. It is a memorial dramatization of what has happened to our people that we need to understand, that we need to heal from. And because just like Sister Yaa said, we need to revere and respect and venerate those brothers and sisters whose names we do not know, but because of their sacrifice, we are here. And so that's what Kibuka does.
Absolutely.
Now, we have another
program. Definitely, we want the children there, because we will have children actually participating in the program, dressed in all black, representing, each child is representing millions of African bodies, because one estimate is 280 million, you know, of our ancestors were involved in that process. So we definitely, I think often it's shameful, but sometimes I see some very knowledgeable adults, but the children, they're not passing on to the children, or the, you know, the parents attend the lectures and the children don't come, or the children come and they're playing, you know.
Right. Because they're children, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of, this is our story that we need, we need to teach it at home, but every opportunity we're at a lecture, the children need to be listening. And I'm, you know, children of a certain age.
Right.
They definitely, if they're old enough to hear and understand, they need to be there listening, not playing, you know, seeing it as playtime, because this is important.
It is important. It is vitally important, the remembrance of what we have gone through that shapes our who we are as African people. And it's something not to be ashamed of. It is something to remind ourselves of what we've gone through, and the fact that those who did it are still here with that same mindset.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
And like I said, if you listen or watch the news and you have any intelligence, do you see what goes on today? It's just a version of what we experienced in the past.
That's right.
You know, today it might be the police instead of the overseer, just some white person on the street who has an attitude, a black guy the other day eating a sandwich, you know, gets arrested.
Yeah.
It's, you know, just for breathing, you know, your existence.
Just
in
your
and of
very
itself.
Presence in their space, you know. Also, too, you have, because I know you got to go soon. So you have another program coming up on December 10th. Tell us about that.
Yes. And thank you so much, Baba Oshi. We're celebrating African Warrior Women's Day. And that's... it's going to be more, the flyers that went out initially say a lecture, but I will, you know, do a presentation at the beginning, but it will focus more on a discussion, and it's a sisters only event. You know, you brothers, and you were there in that beautiful picture of brothers I saw here with African Warrior Men's Day, but it's the sisters' turn in December, and that's December the 10th. It's going to be at Ankabin, and we will make it available online. So hopefully, if you're on Facebook, that information will be forthcoming.
Okay,
it'll be at Ankabin 7 to 9:30 p.m. on December the 10th. And sisters, you know, developing our battle plan, because war, we're in the midst of it. So what are we African warrior women? What do we need to do? you know, to fight this ongoing war, this mm-hmm. assault on our people.
Ashe. Well, Sister Yah, thank you so much for being a guest on the program today. You know, I can't wait to get your husband on here.
Absolutely. And I, you know, we're so thankful to you, Baba, because you always, you know, the door is open for us to come on, and we
always
appreciate it.
Always. We thank you so much, and I will see you on Saturday. I will continue to talk about this to a good extent on Friday.
Thanks, Baba.
Always. Always. You have a blessed and wonderful day, brothers and sisters. Yeah, Sister
Yah, Baba, can I say one
please,
thing?
Please,
of
course you can.
I forgot to say.
Of course
so
you can.
We're looking at our Kabuka celebration, and on this year, it's always the third Thursday in November. This year is the 16th, so we're proclaiming it to be an International Day of Remembrance.
Oh,
and
beautiful.
So hopefully the people who are able to come, and we have people coming from out of town, please come. But if you are unable to come for whatever reason, mm-hmm. you can still pause wherever you are for some, you know, select amount of time and remember the ancestors.
Yes.
And something that has been previously done, a group of people watched Brother Baruti's, the Kabuka lecture that's on Brother Baruti's YouTube channel. So if you look up Kabuka video on in Walamu Baruti's YouTube channel, you can actually watch it. So you may not be able to be physically present, but if you have time to watch it, and a group previously as a group, they, you know, got together mm-hmm. as a group and had their own commemoration, mm-hmm. you know, in their select city. So that's an alternative if you aren't able to physically come. But please, wherever you are on okay. Saturday, take some time and remember and honor and give thanks to our ancestors.
Ashe, ashe.
Are
you saying also, too, that the Kabuka presentation, the members presentation this Saturday will also be online on the YouTube?
No. saying the
Have been
from a previous year.
I will make mention for sure. All right, Sister Yah, thank you so much, my sister.
Thank you, Baba. You have a great day.
You too.
Bibi Fahodie.
Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie, our victorious destiny. Bibi Fahodie. That's Sister Yah.
Sovereignty.
You know it, Ashe. That's it. That's what we talk about. That's what this program is about. Independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Because on this program, to us, there is no other discussion. Everything else is moot. And I don't want to talk to somebody talking about, want to make a discussion about this, that, and no, I don't want to hear that. All I want to hear is how can we come together to make sovereignty a reality as soon as possible? I know I don't have a lot of time on this planet, but what I would love to see on the continent and throughout the diaspora is African people now understanding that we need to be one. As Dr. Sheikh Anta-Diop, has Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, Patrice Lumumba, all of them said, we must be one Africa. It ain't about Nigerians and Cameroonians and Ghanaians. No, it's about us as African people, and not just on the continent, but throughout the diaspora. We must be in charge of our lives. We must be in charge of our land. We must be in charge of our resources. If you don't want to hear it, go ahead. I understand, because you've been trained not to hear this. You're scared. You are frightened. I understand that, because the European puts fear into you. One of the things of the movie, Brother Future, and if you haven't seen Brother Future, please get Brother Future for your children. It's a story about a brother who's living in Detroit, and he's robbing some people who are robbing the electronic store. So he robs them. They rob an electronic store, and he robs them. So he gets the latest CD players and this, that, and the other at that time. This is about 20-some years ago when it came out. You know, maybe a little longer. But I used to show it to the young people that I worked with back in Milwaukee, you know. And so he's in school. He ain't paying attention. He's laying down. And then one of his teachers says, you know, you need to use your mind. He said, nah, I don't need no school. I got my little hustle on the side. I don't need that. I'm getting mine, you know. So that was his mentality. And so the police pulled up on him, you know, and he ran, you know. So he turns around the block. He gets hit by a car, and he's transposed back to 1822 South Carolina, where he encounters Denmark Vesey. And that's where the story. And how he has to get back is he has to help somebody. He has to sacrifice. He has to help people. Because he's been, but I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to spoil it for you. You get it. Get Brother Future. When you get it, give me a call. Call me back right here at 215-490-9832. And we'll talk about it over here and how you felt. And show that to children, because that's what it was for. Show it to a group of children. You could go on. It might be on Netflix. It might be, I believe it's on YouTube. I believe you can go to YouTube and get Brother Future, you know? So I'm saying there's a lot of things that we can do to help ourselves. It really is a lot of things. And I'm hoping that you find a time, you know. Okay, let me see. We have it. Brother Future movie right here on YouTube. The full movie. Brother Future. You know. So they got the movie right here for you. It's on YouTube. You know, YouTube, a lot of good stuff can be on YouTube if you utilize YouTube. You know? Yeah. So dear brothers, we're going to winding down. I'm going to try to make way for our good brother. You know. Our good brother, Brother Franklin Jones and the Black People Matrix. I'm going to try to go off on time so he can get on time. And this Friday, Brother Bomani Tahimba will be in the 12 o'clock hour talking about his trips to Africa, his tour, where you could do some investment. He's going to Johannesburg and Cape Town at the end of this month, the 22nd, and coming back December, and then he's going back to Ghana at the end, right before Christmas, and then coming back after New Year's in Ghana. So you too, brothers and sisters, can take advantage of this, okay? You too, and he'll explain that. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do it out, and they don't want to pay for it. That's a Dr. John Henry Clark quote, you know. Brothers and sisters, have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Isana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Bibi Fahodie family, we will see you on Friday. Peace.